Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon covers a topic that should be important to each of us. Would you read together with me the sermon title for today? No Doubt, based on the gospel reading just read, especially from Matthew 11, verse 2. When John the Baptizer heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? I invite you to turn in your worship folder to your sermon outline. Follow along as we consider our theme, No Doubt. I doubt it. When in doubt, don't be such a doubting Thomas. Without a shadow of a doubt. When in doubt, throw it out. When in doubt, do it. When in doubt, wear red. Maybe you've heard any one of these sayings about doubt. Probably many more. How about this one from the humorous writer Mark Twain? Mark Twain said, it is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, sometimes in our lives, things just aren't what they should be, are they? Sometimes surprises come our way that cause us to have doubts. Like the way we find John the Baptizer in our text today, filled with doubts about Jesus. While in prison, John sends his own disciples to ask Jesus this question. Matthew 11:2. Jesus, are you really the Christ? Or shall we look for another? John the Baptizer doubting? Now that's a surprise. This is John the Baptizer, the mighty man of God, the fearless prophet, the hellfire and brimstone preacher, one of my heroes, by the way. That spokesman for God, calling people to repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. This is John the Baptizer. And he's expressing his doubts about Jesus. John the Baptizer had his doubts. And so do we, even at Christmas time. John was in prison when he doubted. Let me ask you this morning, what is your own personal prison of doubt? Does it have to do with finances? Or health? Or family? Or your future? John was imprisoned by King Herod in a fortress dungeon. He would soon be killed as Herod ordered to chop off John the Baptizer's head. As he awaits his fate, visitors come to visit John. And John has his doubts about this Jesus, this same Jesus he had spent his life serving and proclaiming. You see, in John the Baptizer's life, there seemed to be a difference between expectations and reality. And they caused him to doubt. John the Baptizer preached with great passion about the coming of the Christ as a holy judge, a mighty Lord before whom all sinners would quake and fear at his judgment. But what was Jesus doing? Jesus was healing the sick, loving the outcast, forgiving the sinner. John may well have thought, things just aren't the way they should be. You see, John's problem was a matter of timing, Now, Jesus will come at the end of this world as a mighty Lord and a judge before whom all sinners will quake with fear, but not yet. Before that great and awful day of judgment, Jesus came to save sinners, not to judge them. John's timing and his expectations did not match with God's timing and expectations. And so John began to have doubts. How about you? When our timing and our expectations do not match up with God's, we too can have doubts. But John took his doubts to Jesus. And so can we. We read verses 2 and 3. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" John had his doubts, and so do we. But what did John do? John did not keep his doubts to himself. He did not keep his doubts to himself and let his doubts fester into an infection of fear and unbelief. He sent his friends to Jesus with his questions. And what did Jesus do? He did not reject John nor his doubts. Jesus will never reject you or your doubts either. When things aren't the way they should be in our lives, Jesus stands with us and for us. Do you really think that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who there defeated sin, death, and the devil, and rose to give us heaven, do you think that same Lord would let something like one of our doubts or our fears separate us from Him? No way. Jesus responded to the confession of doubt by John the Baptizer. And he does three things. Look at your sermon outline. For John, he assures, he blesses, and he defends. First, he assures John, verses 4 and 5. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight." Look at this shopping list. Bam, 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 Jesus says. Look at this. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the good news preached to them. Jesus lovingly reminds John the Baptizer of the Isaiah chapter 35 Old Testament reading that Stephen read this morning. Jesus tells John the Baptizer that ancient prophecy that Isaiah foretold, this is what the promised Christ would do when he came, and Jesus fulfilled the shopping list of prophecy item by item. Here, Jesus assures John, "I am the one the prophet foretold." But in this list, Jesus adds one item the prophet Isaiah didn't mention. You can go back over the Old Testament lesson Stephen read for you today in Isaiah 35. And Jesus, for John's sake, adds one item. He gives John a word of promise, a word of assurance that John really needed to hear. It's a word of assurance that we need to hear today. Jesus said, "And the dead are raised." This would be a welcome word of assurance for John. Why? Because as you may recall, John was in prison awaiting his soon execution by beheading. Jesus assures John that death is not the end for a believer. Death. Are you listening? Death does not have the last word. I shared with the elders just before the service today as we prayed that in this last month, I have lost two dear, dear friends to death in the USA. A few weeks ago, the wife of my best friend. Just this Thursday, and we get the call on Friday, a man who was my pastoral assistant when I was a pastor in Seattle, his wife found him dead Thursday morning. Those things broke my heart. I will not see these dear saints of God till God calls me to glory. And I claim the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, when it says Jesus wept and I shed my tears. Yes, I know the resurrection and I know the forgiveness of sins and of heaven, but I miss these dear people already. Jesus comes to John with a word of assurance, and the dead will be raised. John needed to hear that because John knew that soon, by the hand of Herod, his earthly life would end. You see, death for the believer does not have the last word. My dear friends, death is certainly the last and greatest enemy any of us will face. But here, Jesus assures John, and he assures us, that he raises the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb. Jesus rose from his own tomb on Easter Sunday. And anyone who puts their trust in him will conquer death. Jesus put it this way. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. He assures John. Look at your sermon outline. Next, he blesses John. In verse 6, Jesus says, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Note, Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who has faith in me and who is not offended by their association with me, no matter what everybody around them says and does." We talked a lot about that in confirmation class today. The price Christians are paying today for standing in the name of Christ. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you are not offended by being associated with me." This is Jesus' way of blessing John, of saying to John, "I know, John, that you have your doubts, but I know, John, that you will not fall away from me. My love for you can never be destroyed by your doubts or your fears or by the attacks of unbelievers that surround you and have imprisoned you." What a good word of blessing this is for John. What a good news of blessing it is for you and for me. Today, this morning, by the hand of your pastor, through the mouth of Christ, receive this blessing from Jesus when he says to you, "Blessed are you when you are not offended by your association with me." Jesus assures John. He blesses him. What's the third one on your outline? He defends him. You see, perhaps some people's respect and esteem for John went down after they heard of his doubts. But Jesus defends John. More than that, Jesus brags about John to the crowds who had come to see him. Listen to Matthew 11. Jesus spoke to the crowds. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This John is he of whom it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'Behold, I send my messenger.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women has arisen no one greater than John the Baptizer." Wow. Jesus defends John and brags about him, even when he was in his prison of doubts. Oh, how Jesus loved John. Oh, how Jesus loves Thomas. Oh, how Jesus loves Marcos. Oh, how Jesus loves Julia. Oh, how Jesus loves Al. Oh, how Jesus loves a sinner like me. When that liar, when that devil attacks you and accuses you of not being who you should be, of not doing what you should be doing, when the devil accuses you of being a sinner, admit it. Say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I am not all that God made me to be, but yes, I have a mighty Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, my Lord. He has forgiven me, devil. He loves me, devil. And if you have a complaint with me, take it up with my Lord Jesus Christ. Devil, he has defeated you and sin and death. And I am precious to Jesus above all things. In fact, that is just what Jesus says in verse 11 of our gospel lesson for today. He says that John the Baptizer was great, but that we are even greater. Listen to the text. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptizer yet. The one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, what could that mean? Jesus gives us the answer two chapters later in Matthew 13. Let me read what he says. Jesus said, "Blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see and hear, but they did not see it or hear it." Jesus says, let me explain, that as great as John the Baptizer was, and all the prophets of old, for them the cross of Good Friday and the open tomb of Easter Sunday was only a future hope. They never got to firsthand see and know what your eyes have seen, what your ears have heard, and what you know to be true. You and I today, and all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, have seen and do know what the prophets and John only hoped for. We know that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And so Jesus calls us greater than John the Baptizer. Well, so when in doubt, what are we to do? Look at your sermon outline at the very end. When in doubt, what are we to do? By the example of John the Baptizer, Jesus has taught us these three things. Number one. Don't keep your doubts hidden deep inside your heart, where they can turn only into an infection of fear and unbelief. But secondly, bring them to your Lord by yourself or with the help of other believers, like Christian friends or maybe your pastor. And thirdly, always know, as it was true for John the Baptizer, Jesus will never turn you away. His cross and his empty tomb is his promise to you of that. Well, if any of you drive or walk by our home around Christmas time, you'll see a large cross in our front window, a large cross all lit up with red Christmas lights. It's actually quite visible, especially at night. So if you have nothing better to do, take two roads south as far as you can, turn left on London Road by the Diplomat Bakery, and then you'll see our home. In the front window, a large cross with red lights. Now, some people wonder, and some have asked me, why a cross at Christmas? Well, all that Jesus was about, all that he spoke to John the Baptizer about, all that our church and personal faith is about, all that Christmas is finally about, is Jesus upon the cross. God's gift of love at Christmas is the gift of a Savior who was born at Bethlehem that he might one day die upon a cross for the sins of the world. Yes, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, died and risen for you. Jesus loved John the Baptizer, even with all his doubts. Jesus loves you, even with all your doubts. Jesus loves me. Of this, we can have no doubt in the name of Jesus. No doubt. Amen.